الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله، سيد الأولين والآخرين، وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين، والشافع المشفع يوم الدين، وعلى آله الطيبين وأزواجه الطاهرات أمهات المؤمنين، ومن استنى بسنته مهتدى بهديهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، حياكم الله. Dear brothers and sisters, to the session of the fiqh, and we are with Umdat al-Ahkam, and exactly with the explanation of it for Sheikh Uthaymeen, titled by Tanbih al-Afham. Naam. Kunna bil ams takallamna ala awwal hadith fi hadha al-kitab, wa huwa hadith Umar bin Khattab. Takallamna an tarjamat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. We spoke yesterday about the first hadith in this book, which is the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab, Innama al-a'malu binniyat, but we spoke only about the biography of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum. الذي قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, who said that I heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. إنما in Arabic is a word used to emphasize the importance of something, and it is called adatu hasr. It means that it makes the meaning of this thing yani, how can I say it? It is like when you say indeed nothing the deeds, or verily the deeds are only considered by the intentions, or according to their intentions which preceded them. So he said innama al-a'malu, al-a'mal here deeds, meaning the worshipping deeds, the worshipping deeds, or yani, yes, the worshipping deeds that you seek the reward with, you seek the reward with. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. So any worshipping deed is only considered according to the according to the intention preceding these deeds. Intention preceding these deeds. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ يعني and every mankind every mankind is going to be judged based on his intentions, which are yani, preceding the deeds. And then he saw Sallam gave example of that. He said, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. whose intention is whose immigration is based on an intention for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, and he is for the sake of Allah, and he is going to for Allah and for His Messenger, meaning he is leaving his land, which is land of shirk or land of kubur or land of disobedience, and escaping and running away from it to the land of Islam, Iman, Sunnah, Tawheed, like that. If he migrates for this purpose, then that is for Allah and His Messenger, meaning for Allah the reward be from Allah Ta'ala. For His Messenger, meaning to hold on His religion. To hold on his religion. And whoever bases his migration on other purposes other than this, which is for the sake of Allah, then it is for that purpose that he intended. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave example of that. He said, the one who migrates from a land to another for business to run, or for a woman to marry, then this migration is only for that purpose. Meaning he's not going to be rewarded. If it is a matter of permissible thing, then no harm on that. But when it is something haram, he's going to be punished. And when it is something that helps in obtaining something good, like marriage, yes, he's not going to be rewarded like the one who migrates for the sake of Allah, meaning to go to a land where he can fulfill his religion freely. If this wasn't the intention and the purpose of hijrah, but it was for migrating, and this migrating is only to marry a woman that he thinks that he will be self-sufficient or protect himself with her, then like this, inshallah ta'ala, will be rewarded based on that, not on hijrah, based on obtaining that permissible reason for traveling. And that's why he said, فَيْجَرَتُ إِلَى مَا هَجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. His migration is only for what he migrated. For what he migrated. نعم. Here's some benefits that Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, have put. He said, the first is the clarification of the importance of intention in all the deeds. And that the deeds are only considered worthy or not based on it, and the reward and punishment are based on the intention. Based on the intention. The second benefit that Sheikh Uthaymeen gave is the eagerness to and encouragement and the courage to be upon the sincerity in your intentions to Allah Ta'ala, and also to the clarification of the virtue of ikhlas or sincerity. The third benefit is warning against looking only for dunya and using the work of akhirah to attain and gain the benefit of dunya. And the fifth is that purity is from the deeds, and the deeds are in need for intentions. So everyone who wants to perform tahara must have the intention before he performs the tahara. Must have the intention before he performs the tahara. And that is the reason why Imam Maqdisi brought this hadith in this place. Naam. The sixth is the best way of teaching from the Prophet ﷺ to the Sahaba, as he is the best teacher ever known and a perfect clarification that he made by giving these examples. By giving these examples, where he mentioned the principles, where he mentioned the principles, major principles and then he explained it with an example eloquently and eloquence is seen very clearly in this hadith. The eloquence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in speech is seen very well in this hadith. Then we have the second hadith, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he is the ulama have different opinion in regard to the name of Abu Hurairah. But what Ibn Hajar Asqalani choosing and many of the ulama, that he is Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi. Otherwise it was said many other names, but they all agree that his kunya is Abu Hurairah, or this is not a kunya, it's a surname in a format of kunya, and that is because he used to carry a small cat in his sleeve, so they called him Abu Hurairah, and Hurairah is a small cat. Ad-Dawsi also, they all agree on that, because this is the tribe of Abu Hurairah, the tribe of Abu Hurairah, Daws. And Daws is a tribe south to Taif. Taif is in the eastern south, in the southeast of Mecca, on high hills called Rainy Green. From Taif until Yani Abha, a long distance, around 800 kilometers, something like that. And after Taif comes some tribes like Bani Sa'd, where Rasulullah ﷺ, where Halima al-Sa'diyya have taken Rasulullah ﷺ for the breastfeeding, and he lived there for a while with them. And after that comes Bani Malik, where I am from, and that is the land of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. He is from Bani Malik. It used to be called Bajila. Bajila is a small town now there. Small town in Bani Malik. But in that time it was big. It was the capital of the area. And then comes Balharis. And from there you see then Al-Baha, Baljurashi, Wirghamid, and Zahran. And Zahran and Daws is a small town now there, but in the time of Abu Hurairah it was the largest town, it was the capital. But Daws now is a small town in the land called Ghamid and Zahran in the south of Saudi Arabia, in the south part of Saudi Arabia. Now. So Abu Hurairah Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi embraced Islam in year number 7, in the year in which the battle of Khaybar against the Yahud existed. And he he stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing nothing. He did not marry. When he came to Islam, he wasn't married yet. So he did not marry. He decided not to get married. And he did not work. So what was he doing? he freed himself only to collect the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, to the limit that one day he asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, saying, Ya Rasulullah, من أسعد الناس بشفاعتك يوم القيامة? Who is the most happy one of your intercession in the day of resurrection, Ya Rasulullah? He, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, did not answer directly, but he said, I never thought that anyone, any person would ask about this before you, Abu Hurairah, because of your eagerness that I found with you in seeking the hadith. So he was freeing himself only to collect the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. And he said that Al-Ansar, people who worked in farms, and Muajirin, people who work in business, I am somebody who was miskeen, and I stayed in with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doing nothing just to hear and collect the hadith from him. If I find anything to eat, I eat. Otherwise, he may remain maybe sometimes days. As he said, until sometimes he may collapse in one of the streets of Medina and people pass by him, they say, Abu Huraira become crazy. But he said, but I'm not crazy, I'm only hungry. And he said that sometimes I ask a companion about an ayah that I know better than him. I just want him to welcome me to his house to teach me, and at the same time serve me some food. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu collected all this knowledge in 4 years, and less than 4 years. And he reported the highest number of hadith. The highest number of hadith, and no one even came close to him, not even came close to the half of it. He reported 5,374 hadith. 5,374 hadith. Now, the Bukhari and Muslim agreed upon 325 of them. So Abu Huraira was the one who was the best memorizer amongst the Sahaba. Now, he passed away radiallahu ta'ala anhu in year 57 in Medina. In year 57 in Medina. And he was the one who did the janazah prayer of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in Medina. Abu Huraira had a daughter that married to Abu Sa'id, to Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, the Imam of the Tabi'een. He married the daughter of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anha. The hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. Allah Ta'ala won't accept the prayer of one of you once he loses his wudu until he performs wudu again. Until he performs wudu again. The Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah Ta'ala said about this hadith, إِذَا أَحْدَثَ, meaning when he loses wudu, meaning from two ways. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said in the benefits of this hadith, he said that the salah is not all accepted. Some of it accepted, some of it rejected. Whatever adheres the legislation of the Sharia of Islam, then that is accepted. Whatever does not adhere the Sharia of Islam, then it is rejected. Likewise, all the worships, as he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, من عمل عمل ليس علي أمرنا فورد, the hadith of Aisha in Sahih Muslim, من عمل عمل ليس علي أمرنا فورد. It is he whoever does any act of worship which is not from our matter, meaning not from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam, then it is going to be rejected. And the second benefit is that the prayer is the prayer, the obligatory prayer and the optional prayer are all in need for wudu, even salatul janazah, even the funeral prayer must be with wudu. Must be with wudu. And if the person prays without wudu, forgetting, he thought that he has wudu, but after he finished the prayers, he remembers, then he has to go and perform wudu and pray again. If he remembers after a day or two or long or short periods, he still must perform wudu and go pray that prayer again, because that prayer is not accepted for this hadith. And also it is forbidden for one to pray without wudu. It is forbidden, haram, because it is a worship, and he cannot just yani, and this would be a way of mocking the Sharia of Islam. The fourth benefit is that the person, when the Muslim performs wudu for salah, and then he performs wudu, for example, for dhuhr, and he prayed dhuhr, and he stayed with his wudu until the time of asr came, then he does, and he did not lose his wudu, then he does not need to make another wudu for the other salah, but he can pray with that wudu because he is still with tahara, and the condition as in this hadith is until he breaks his wudu, until he breaks or nullifies his wudu. And the fifth benefit is to magnify and glorify and to to emphasize the matter of salah, to consider the matter of salah, because Allah won't accept it without purity. So that means it is very, very important for the Muslim to perform, to take care of salah and learn about salah and learn about salah. Now, here we, inshallah ta'ala, end up willing to see you, inshallah, tomorrow again or tonight with the Arabic languages, I remember. نعم إن شاء الله تعالى والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. If you have any question, you please send it now. On Pal Talk you can raise your hand, and on WhatsApp you can type number one. Now I'm Dean, go ahead. It says, if a woman has too much discharge which comes from the private part, not from sexual desires. Does she make wudu every time? And does it make her clothes impure? La, these discharges which are not blood of menses or blood after giving birth, which are not the lubricating liquid which comes through desire, sexual desire, if it is not urine, then if it is not these three, then these liquids and discharges are not considered to be impure. They are pure. And you can yani see the letter of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala in titled by The Natural Bloods of Women, of the Woman. Nah. Wallahu a'lam. Zainab Diaby from was it? Go ahead, send your question. Will we have exams after this semester? Yes, inshallah. Yes, inshallah, you're going to have exams. نعم أبو مريم قوين نعم شاياكم شاياكم. What are the things can a husband and wife do make a happy marriage? Fear Allah first of all with one another. Fear Allah with one another. Protect yourself and yani perform all the obligatory worships. Do as much as you can of the optional worships. Be kind to your wife and she must be kind to you. Use the good words always, even when disciplining and like that inshallah ta'ala. Wallahu alam. Ibrahim here says from Muzik, Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am really interested to hijra to Saudi, but seems to be very difficult. I am living in a kuffar land. Do you know any way that can make hijra to Saudi? Jazakallah khair. Wa iyyak barakallahu fik. I think hijra is not possible these days, except for very, very, very little cases. And these cases are not for people who just come for hijrah. No, it is, for example, if he's a Pakistani and he goes back to Pakistan and lives there. Or if he is Yemeni, he goes back to Yemen. If he is Saudi, he goes back to Saudi. But for another person to come and stay here as hijrah, today's world, based on immigration, passports, residency, permits, and etc. Today, akhi, it is almost impossible. I can't say impossible, but I can say it is almost impossible. Not only to Saudi Arabia, but to elsewhere. And from the Muslim lands. Of course, the Kuffar lands are widely opened. And that is one of the fitna that Allah Ta'ala tests the people with. So we have to be patient with the with the qadr that Allah Ta'ala gave us. And here we need to end up the session to get ready for going to the Masjid Nabawi. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad ala sahbihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.